So now we're into part five of this series, mini series, Divine Order and Creation and Scripture, which our sister Ernie was provoked me to love and good works. She wanted me to do a series specifically on how numbers work together and stories. As we know, there's many that we're so blessed to see, and based on a foundation of just knowing what those numbers mean. It really does open a vista of many, many stories, and I'm going to do my best to bring up some of the more pertinent ones, the ones that that we can look at and understand readily because of the mind of Christ. And in this situation, we're going to be looking at two verses in particular, but I'll just read on here. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. So in this study, we'll look at the verses in God's word that use the numbers and phrase two or three side by each. And there happens to be 11 in the King James with that phrasing. And we'll look at each one individually, not all of them tonight, but two of them. The words of Christ are parables, as we know, that hide the true meaning for the masses. And those red-lettered words of Christ are the first parables that we'll take a look at, along with the other nine verses later. So regarding parables, we know the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Parables, I add here, like, what's that? We'll take that out of there. That was a typo. Parables like where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. And, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Matthew 18, verse 16, which brings us back to Mike's study there on Sunday. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given," which is just another way of saying we have an altar that the world cannot eat at this time, because our eyes have been opened, God willing. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. 4 verse 34, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. In other words, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, again, they were hearing Christ expound these parables, but that's very much what we would be doing during the thousand-year reign. We'll be explaining these things and the details of them. But just like the disciples here, they were still not converted. The Holy Spirit, and that ties into the study tonight, that has to be there. There's a process of judgment that has to happen. And that can only, if that doesn't happen, then there's no conversion that actually occurs. God's words cannot be established within us unless there is the true witness of Jesus Christ cleansing the temple of God within, of all the deception and lies that initially inhabit the temple. That beastly nature must be driven out by God's. By Christ's judgments upon us, that's the three, by which we are received and established by grace through faith. So 3 and 2 is 5. Hebrews 12:6, we know, says that for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And 1 Peter 5:10, about the word established. It's right here, actually. But the God of grace, all grace, we're talking about grace, which is God's favor, but it's God's favor that chastens and scourges us and receives us so that we forsake ungodliness and worldly lust who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Christ reveals to us who it is that has Christ in their midst. It is those who are being judged in this age and being given to put off our flesh so that we can trust God. And this all being done to his glory. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, and we know no one comes to the Son unless the Father drags us there, there am I in the midst of them. It is not it is not specifically because there were two or three people making God obligated to be in their midst, but it is because of what those numbers mean to us as the body of Christ, who are given eyes to see their spiritual meaning. As a witness to this concept, God put two or three people in the fiery furnace who were in the midst of Christ, who was the fourth man in the book of Daniel in that fire. It's not about the amount of people, it's about what the numbers represent to us spiritually. And this story is plainly showing us that the process of judgment upon flesh, that's the number three, represented by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men must have Christ in the midst of them. Christ is the two, he's the witness, the true witness, in order to bring salvation, which will come to the whole of humanity in time. The four men represent the whole of humanity. The response given to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18 is what brought great fury to him, and is akin to these verses in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 15. We might as well look. I think we need to look at those. Or maybe not. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Well, that's what was happening. Every man's work, including Nebuchadnezzar's and the work of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Christ. The work was being revealed. What is it that God's doing with all of these characters? So the response given to Nebuchadnezzar is what brought great fury to him and is akin to these verses. They remind us that every man's, that's the four, work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's four work of what sort it is. Nebuchadnezzar is part of the every man whose work is being revealed by his anger, similar to Cain's wrath toward Abel. And we could go so far as to say that everyone who is against God's word is unknowingly showing hatred toward Christ and his body, including those that God gives over to a heretical spirit, and ultimately the whole of humanity coming up against the camp of the saints. So there's that number four again, the whole of humanity. That hatred toward the body of Christ is prophesied to only grow stronger as we near the end of this evil age. Thanks be to God that we are in his arms and being delivered from the fiery furnace. Daniel 3, verses 17 and 18. If so be God, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar is really a type of Satan, because he's that first gold head controlling the whole body, where he's been called, he's the god of this world, he's been controlling all of those nations. But these young men represent the body of Christ coming out and rejecting those powers and principalities. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13 and 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest. I think you read this. For the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And that is the body of Christ. If we endure, and it's only through Christ that we can, if we are slated for that, then we will. And will receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, then in the lake of fire, great white throne judgment, but all men will be saved. 1 John 3:12-15, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him as Cain. Cleansing the temple that we are. John 2:15-19. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all, there's the four, out of the temple. And we are that temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that you do these things? You, Christ, that's the two, the witness. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. And his body, our body, that's the witness that we are the two witnesses. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. That's that process of judgment. And that adds up to five, which is again grace. Three, the process of judgment that requires Christ. Two, in the midst of our hearts and minds, in his body, the church, as we are being saved by grace through faith. Matthew 12:39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. It is Babylon that God's people are called out of, which is that evil and spiritually adulterous generation being spoken of, and who are given a sign which is only physical to them. Knowing Christ only after the flesh, as we all did in our appointed time. And you could include Babylon to mean all of the world, a sign that is a parable for the unbelieving, which is what 1 Corinthians 14:22 tells us. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. This sign is another witness for God's elect that Christ, too, has to be in the midst of the earth, the church, for 3 days in order to judge us so we can hear his words. Jeremiah 22:29. O earth, hear the word of the Lord. How are we going to hear unless someone teach us? And Christ has to teach us. Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. When Christ is in our midst, it will ultimately do us no good regarding going on to perfection unless he is within us as our hope of glory, a hope that we share as the body of Christ, and one that cleanses the temple to see the wood, hay, and stubble burnt out. If we're blessed to continue to abide in him, and endure all things through him, the gold, silver, and precious stone will also be purified within us. John 2:15-16. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, a threefold cord, it says in Ecclesiastes, is not quickly broken. And that tells us the work that the Lord is going to accomplish will be accomplished in the body of Christ. He drove them all out of the temple. The all, again, is the four. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. As a rich and foolish old king who represents our unbridled flesh at that time, Ecclesiastes brings this out, chapter 4:12-13. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child, the man child, of course, than an old and foolish king who will be no more admonished. And that's our old men, and that is what we have to guard against. Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So we don't want to be that king that is not, whose heart is not listening and hearing the Lord. 1 John 3, verse 3, from heaven, I mean, the verse in Hebrews comes to mind that God wants us to hear. That's the whole function of our relationship, is to hear him. And it takes a miracle, of course, but it does take our going through stuff, learning obedience by the things we suffer, and he's mercifully bringing us forward. 1 John 3, 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The hope of glory that Christ is within us. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. John 17, verse 17, which is what God is doing in us through Christ as his workmanship. The order of what Christ drove out of the temple is significant as well. He drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. The first thing to go is the people, which represents our carnal wood, hay, and stubble selves. Then the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, which represent the valuable idols of the rich young ruler of Matthew 19, verse 22, that are wrapped around our hearts. And we know that represents iniquity, which is self-righteousness, and must be driven out and overthrown to be replaced with true worship in spirit and in truth. It all has to go. And Christ is the man who is going to get the job done within the body of Christ as our hope of glory, glory being obedience. Christ is the one who gives us the power to be obedient. What we're going to be looking for in the following 11 verses with the phrase two or three is a witness that is either positive or negative, with the number two, and a process of judgment being described positively or negatively regarding the number three. The other lesson we can search out is found by knowing, and we touched this already, but we can add two and three to get the number five, which is a number that is associated with grace through faith. God's grace and faith require the gift of the Comforter being within us. That's the two, enabling us to go through a process of judgment in this life, as the author and the finisher of our faith finishes that which he has been predestined to succeed from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So that trust is a miracle, and it happens as a result of being so oppressed, having trials, and having the Lord navigate us through those trials, giving us the strength so that we come to that place of deep trust. And Psalms 107, he brings us to our haven. He brings us through those trials and brings us back to the Lord. And it's all being accomplished through the Comforter. But we're that Comforter for each other. The Spirit of God is working that way, the Parakletos, in John 14, verse 16. If we are as Christ in this life, we are going to be judged, as suffering as he did in his flesh, filling up what is behind of the afflictions of our Lord. These are his words related to judgment that are true of his own body as well. 1 John 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So that's the connecting thought. Perfection is going to happen as a result of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Hebrews 5, 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And of course, judgment is upon the house of God. John 5, verses 30 to 36, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. I judged, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. For without me, you can do nothing. Christ speaking to the body of Christ, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. There's another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. So there's one person, there's not two or three in his midst. It's not the point. Christ is saying, the Lord is with me, and the Lord is with us, whether we're one or whether we're a dozen or 100 or however many. You sent them to John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man. He doesn't receive John's testimony. But these things I say that you might be saved. So whose testimony? He's pointing to Christ. We're receiving Christ's testimony. Christ is within us. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, as does the body of Christ, to Revelation 11, verse 3, which tells us, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. I will say the word power is not there, but it's implied. I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200, threescore days, clothed in sackcloth. Zechariah 4:6 makes that clear. It's not by might or power, but by the Holy Spirit that we're being able to accomplish God's ministry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. John 14, verse 12. So we know greater means greater spiritually. We haven't done what Samson or David did, or physical things in the world around us, and healings in Babylon are going to increase, and those are strong delusion. The greater works is the conversion, being given eyes to see and ears to hear, being able to carry our cross, bear the burden of this calling for each other, with each other, in the fire, together. John 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Our being sent of Christ bears witness that we are his body, that Christ is working through. We bear witness of the Father and Christ, as Christ did of his Father. We suffer as Christ did and cease from sinning, growing in our discipleship toward one another, that is revealed by our love for one another, expressed in obedience to his commandments. John 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Grace is not grace by which we can be saved, that if it is based on works that don't acknowledge Christ doing the work within us. We die daily and carry our cross so that we can bring forth good works via the grace and faith by which we are being saved. We must constantly be striving to acknowledge who it is that is doing those works within us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, as we continually go about our Father's business, as Christ did, working out those works with fear and trembling in the days of his flesh and bones that we are. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, yes, his flesh, but our flesh, his body. And in not acknowledging that is the spirit of Antichrist, Christ and his Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. The elect also have their being in Christ, the difference being that Christ is only within those who have his spirit in them. John 14, verse 20. Well, Romans 8, 9 tells us that. Colossians 1, 27 tells that. But John 14, verse 20 says, at that day, you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And that makes it possible for us to be saved by grace through faith, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And his purpose, of course, is expressed in that Romans 8:28 and Ephesians 2:8, that is accomplished by his love being shed abroad in our hearts, which works with the faith of Christ that is given to us. And of course, it excludes boasting, because we are his workmanship, Christ working in us both to will and to do of our Father's good pleasure. And it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Every day we have it in earnest, and it's growing. And it's his good pleasure to show the world one day the bride of Christ. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith and love, they are inseparable. Where is boasting then? Romans 3, verse 27 and 28. It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Notice the answer that is given to Elias, who felt he was alone. And we do at times feel alone. Romans 11, verses 1 to 8. Physically, he often was alone, as do many of the body's members have to be due to physical circumstances in this life. Of course, we don't forsake the assembling of the brethren when the Lord has given us those opportunities. And that is not just speaking about physically coming together, but being raised together through a sacrificial life that is presented to God as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service that brings us together in Christ. And I often think about that. You do miss people, you miss your family, you miss your loved ones. We see each other every night, but we're still not getting those clay hugs in. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? But the best thing we can do, and it is the most profound thing, is for God to bless us so that we can be dying daily and raised in heavenly places where our relationship is strengthened there. So that's of course what we're all striving for, because we know in that place we have food, we have an altar, we can feed and care for each other. I say then, God has cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What you not what the scripture says of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets and dig down thine altars. Israel representing the world, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Like Paul's edict there, wanting everyone who was of that way to be bound and taken. Well, what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Regarding the earlier point, it is the few who are being saved in this life by grace through faith. That's that 2 and 3 again. Typified by the 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal, made possible by the life of Christ within us and the process of judgment that we are going through that enables us to trust him. So it's all circular, and it all comes back to that point. And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. The Israel of God is obtaining it and will obtain it by grace through faith. That can only be accomplished by the works that Christ does in us, which entails a lifelong process of judgment that is upon our old man. Romans 11, verse 8. According as it is written, God has given to them the spirit of slumber. eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. To recap, God's word is being established within us through Christ as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 18 and verses 16 and 20 in particular are all about judgment and the blessing it brings upon those who have Christ in the midst of their lives. Doing that judging, which is a process that the entire body of Christ is part of and not to despise, as he works in us toward the goal of being established and reconciled to Christ with his mind that brings joy to every member of his body who are being saved by grace through faith. Matthew 18, verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And that is, in other words, hoping and praying that the grace of God, the chastening of the Lord, will reconcile that schism or whatever it is, that the Lord will use us to keep each other and restore each other in the Lord. Again, that's what Mike's study was all about. It was about recognizing our part, the two or three working within me, strengthening me so I can be there to comfort and strengthen others. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, and there's the connection, there am I in the midst of them. We're critical. Every joint supplies. We're all not the hand, we're not all the foot, but we're critical to the operation. Each one of us is critical and adds to the overall growth and maturing of the body. To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Philippians 2, verses 2 and 3. Fulfill you, my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'd like to do a study someday on the subject of competition in this world and how that can't be part of the body of Christ. We cannot do anything in a spirit of competition. Of course, we know that, but it creeps in. It's in this world big time. It's been there from, the gladiators to today. So, of course, Satan knows that's a tool of his, and we have to overcome that through Christ, and we can and we will. Next week, Lord willing, we'll delve into the next series of verses that have the phrase two or three, and there's nine more. I don't know how many I'm going to do, but hopefully we'll see how the Lord leads and guides that. Thank you all for coming out. That's our part five.